green lights meant everything was good. The red lights said it wasn't so good. You know, red says stop, yellow says, or green says go, yellow says wait, you better hit the gas and go fast, you know, something like that. Okay, all set. I know some of you guys are new. In other words, you weren't here the last time I probably gave my testimony. So real quickly, I was saved in Greensboro when I was 13 years old. I went to a church. My playmates had invited me to come. And so I went. I'd always went to church. My mom and dad always took me to church. I don't remember the first time I was in church. One of my earliest memories was sitting on the bench as a little bitty fellow about the age of Peter, you know, a real little kid. And I looked up, I saw my dear mother singing, Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord to me. And I thought that was the cornbread that come out of the oven, you know. And, you know, but anyway, we all lived together, me and mom and dad. I was the only child. My dad was too. His parents lived with us in a big old house in Greensboro, and I had the run of the place. And grandma had a wood cook stove, and I knew exactly when that oven, all those hot biscuits would come out, you know, and the cornbread and all that stuff, you know. And so that's how I grew up, always going to church. And when I was 13, like I said, we went to a brand new church. My playmates had asked me to come. I didn't realize it, but that was the opening of that church, and a new building. And the place was packed. And the preacher in the Baptist church back then was always fire and brimstone. You know, that's the way they preached. And, you know, and I'd heard that before, but that Sunday, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in a mighty way. And when they gave the invitation, man, I was just sitting there, you know, I was just, you know, holding that pew. And but I had to go down, and I went all the way down. That was the way, you know. The Lord Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you when I come with my Father and the holy angels. And so it was really stressed, you know, that you made a public profession of faith. And, you know, and I went down and prayed and trusted the Lord. And my dad was down there, and he opened the Bible, and it was in Romans. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I never will forget it. You know, it's just, it's that, you know, that was the moment I trusted Christ and I got saved. Turn, if you will, to the first book of Moses. That's otherwise called Genesis. It's the first book in the Bible, the first chapter, and the first verse. See, I got my notes. I'm not good at this. I got through school, but, you know, I didn't do a lot of speaking in school. I didn't really like school. I guess got through it. But anyway, I went to work when I got out of school. Or even before I got out of school, I went to work. I worked all summer for 3 years. My dad got me a job in the cotton mill. That's where he worked. That's where his dad worked. That's where his dad before him worked. So they got me a job in the cotton mill. And I think it was to try to make me see that I didn't want to work in the cotton mill, you know. And I really finally figured out I didn't. But anyway, I worked all summer for 3 summers. I mean, all summer. Saturday, Sunday, every day. And when I got out of school, went to work the next day, and the last day in the mill, the next day went back to school. So I did that 3 summers, and made a lot of money. I was making $1 and, I don't know, 65, 70 cents an hour, you know. It's pretty good money, you know. So anyway, it's been a long time. Anyway, the church where I got saved, there's a AAA travel agency in Greensboro on Pisgah Church Road. If you go by there, that's where I got saved. That's where Lynn and I got married. The first Sunday I went, that Sunday I got saved, she was playing the piano. She's just a little girl, you know. And I was 13. She was probably about 11 or so. Anyway, I remember she was a real cute little girl. I remember that. But after after we got saved, started going to church there, you know, we met each other and so forth, and quite a few years later, I got baptized there, got married there, got saved there, and the place is gone. So, you know, that's life, you know. Type things move on, you know. But the Lord, He's always with you, you know. Amen. Amen. All right. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's out of favor now, you know. I just Googled on my computer one day, a couple of weeks ago, theories on the origin of the earth. And then it comes up 8 or 10 right off the bat, you know. And this isn't part of it. It's all these different theories, which they're unproven. You know, nobody's ever going to prove, you know, some theory that how the earth was formed. But this is God's word. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word created there is a Hebrew word, of course. And it would be spelled in our language B-A-R-A. B-A-R-A. And I don't know how to pronounce that. Bara, or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, it means to take nothing and make something. To make something out of nothing. Well, think about this for a minute. God took nothing and He made the heaven and the earth, everything that we see. Now, how do we accept that? How do we come to terms with that? Well, the Bible tells us how to. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed or formed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But like I said, if you go on the internet and you just Google that, you'll come up with at least 8 or 10 things right off the bat, people's ideas. And the latest one, I think, is a Big Bang thing. And there were some that were, I remember back when I was in school, they'd started with all this stuff way back, you know, 1960 or something like that. Anyway, they come up with all these different theories. One was a big dust cloud, you know, just swirling around or whatever. But God's word said He took nothing and made the heaven and the earth. Now that was B-A-R-A. If you turn over a page or two to Genesis chapter number 2, let's see, in verse 9, this is just a little comparison. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It does not say that God created man. It says He formed man of the dust of the ground. It's like, I read, this is sort of like he took dirt. This word dust, it can be translated dirt, powder, debris, ash. You know, not really, you know, what we'd say great things, you know, but He formed a man out of the dust of the ground. And then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So He took matter of some kind. He took debris, ash, whatever, you know, and formed a man. Okay, this is just what the Bible says. It's not my interpretation, it's just what the Bible says. Okay, think about God making the heavens, the heaven and the earth. The 19th Psalm says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The key to me there is that first verse. The heavens declare the glory of God. The glory of God. Lynn and I were somewhere the other day. We looked at the clouds, and we've had a lot of storms, but the clouds, they were way off in the distance, and the blue sky was out there. And we both just sort of, wow. Just looking at the sky and just thinking how beautiful that was. And it is really beautiful. Who hadn't seen a sunset and thought, well, how beautiful is that? Well, the Bible says that's declaring the glory of God. The glory of God. That's crazy, isn't it? Well, not crazy. Jerry says it's remarkable or whatever you say. I can't remember. Amazing. I said amazing. Yeah. Well, it is. It's amazing, isn't it? Okay. Psalm 33. The Psalms are full of these praising God. And, well, they should be. It's God's songbook. In Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Let all the world stand in awe of the Lord. It's sad, but the world doesn't stand in awe of our God, does he? Does it? No, it doesn't. But the Bible says, let all the world stand in awe of him. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Turn back to Psalm number 8. Excuse me. O Lord, our Lord. And someone was preaching on this. Might have been Jeff. I don't remember who it was. But I wrote in, O Jehovah, our Master. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory, there's that word glory again, above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Now catch this. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, my Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That's some good stuff. O Lord, my Lord, what a great God we have. Glory, that's what all this is giving to God, is glory. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. All glory belongs to our God. Isaiah 6:3, this is where the seraphims, are in the temple. And they've got six wings, and they, anyway, one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Full of the glory of God. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1, starting verse 18, just a few verses here. This talks about the wrath of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Well, how does God show things to the lost? Well, through the preaching of His Word. Well, you say, well, some folks, they don't ever go to church. Well, by Christian singing, well, they don't listen to Christian music on the radio. They don't watch the preacher, television preacher. They can look up at the heavens and they see the glory of God. They see what He spoke into existence. And that's that unwritten, well, it's written in the sky. You know, the psalmist wrote, there's not a language or a voice or a tongue that hasn't saw this. Anyway, it says verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No excuse. When they stand before an almighty, all-powerful God who created the heaven and the earth, not unless they have trusted His dear Son as Savior. That's the only way. He is the only way. By placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a... It's hard to imagine standing before a holy God without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed here's this word again, glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. They changed the glory of God. Well, it really can't be changed. But that's what man has done. They want to do anything except give God the praise and the glory. Anything except God. They say, sad but true. In the beginning, God. Okay, there's some other passages in the Bible that talk about the beginning. The next one is found in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now this word Word is not in Hebrew, it's in Greek. And I don't know Greek, it's Greek to me. But anyway, this word is Logos, L-O-G-O-S. It means, it's a Greek term that means a thought or a concept. and also the expression or utterance of that thought. Okay, just keep that in mind. Verse 3 says, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now we all know this is talking about our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with God in the beginning. He was there at creation. And it says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse number 10, speaking of the Lord Jesus, He says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And I like this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. You know, you're not going to get to heaven except through the Lord Jesus. And you've got to be born again. And it says they're not born of blood. In other words, you may come from a really good family or a really sorry family. You know, you come from all, there's all kind of different families. But you can't get there according to your relationships. In other words, your earthly families. That's you're not going to get to heaven that way. You can't get there by the will of the flesh. In other words, to me that means you can't study enough. You can't learn enough. You can't be such a so studious and so, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not going to get you to heaven. Or the will of man. In other words, your strength or your endeavor or whatever you do, that's not going to get it. But of God, born of God. That's the new birth. That's trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. It doesn't make any difference how smart you are, how learned you are, you can't earn it. You can't study your way to it. You can't buy your way to it. If you came from a Rockefeller, for that, back when I was a kid, the Rockefellers was, now it's the, I forget who it is now, the Gates or the, I know Bill Gates, that's the name comes from. But in other words, doesn't make any difference how wealthy you are. You can't buy your way to heaven. It's just through believing on the shed blood that Jesus died for me and for you. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Okay. Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. 1 Corinthians 1:24, you don't have to turn to these passages unless you want to. It talks about Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power and wisdom of God. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom, this is in Jesus, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in Him. It's by Him and through Him. Okay, the next one is 1 John chapter 1. And this should be the last one, and I got 15 minutes. Okay. 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning. Here's the beginning again. John says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen with eyes, hear, as with our ears, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The early Christians, I looked some stuff up about what happened to the apostles. Well, to start with, I started with Judas. He wasn't an apostle. He was a disciple. But the Lord Himself said he was the son of perdition. He hung himself before the Lord was crucified. All the other apostles lived after the Lord was crucified, and they went through some terrible things. Some terrible things. Mr. Moore, Todd, that's your name, isn't it? You're dealing with an old man up here now. Some things I have to think a little bit. You mentioned you went to Rome. I've been there. St. Peter's Basilica. That was the site of the old Circus Maximus in Rome. That's where they took to the old one. You know, that was, I think, before the Colosseum. You know, but anyway, the Romans were very, very cruel people. That's where Peter was crucified upside down. That was his request, to be crucified upside down, because he didn't feel like he was worthy to be crucified right side up like the Lord Jesus was. And if you go there, you know, down in, it's a great big building, big beautiful church. When you first go in, on the right, there's Michelangelo's statue of David, and they tell you all of these different things, you know. And the Catholic Church, one thing they really like is gold. They have a lot of gold. If you look up, you know, it's all you see is gold. But this is where the apostles, and you go down in the front, and they've got golden banisters and steps, you know, that goes down to his, where he's supposed to be buried down there in the front. He was crucified upside down. St. Paul, or Paul the Apostle, you know, he was an apostle. The Lord Jesus appeared to him after his death and burial and resurrection. He appeared to him on the road to Damascus, you know. Anyway, if you go outside the gates of Rome, and we did that. We went through a big arch with a taxi cab driver that he was sitting on a lawn chair, you know, swapping gears. All the Italians think they're Mario Andretti or somebody, you know. Anyway, he took us out there. It's called St. Paul's Outside the Walls. And it's a great big cathedral. It's a beautiful place. But that was a cemetery for upper echelon Romans. And Paul, of course, was a Roman citizen. But he was beheaded. That was more of a formal execution. You know, crucifixion was just a terrible thing. And, you know, but a Roman citizen, they decapitated him. And you can go out there and see where his tomb is there. All the other apostles were martyred, except one. Anybody got an idea which one was? Exactly. John wasn't. But it weren't for not trying. Wasn't for not trying. I think I left those other notes at home. Oh my. Anyway, I think his name was Tertullian. Anyway, he was like a first and second, or maybe a second century historian. And he wrote that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was taken into a Colosseum. And it was just a big crowd of Romans there. And he was submerged in a vat of boiling oil. And he came back out, and he was alive. And he said everyone in the Colosseum was converted to Christianity. Now, this is history. It's not in the Bible, but this is what happened. That's what history tells us. They were especially cruel. But the Apostle John, note that what he wanted people to know. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, I've been to court. I had never been tried for anything. But I've been out there quite a few times with jury duty. I don't know why they picked me. I think I've aged out now, so thank you. But anyway, there's been quite a few times I've been out there. And any defense lawyer that's worth his salt, if the prosecution has got a eyewitness, that defense attorney will do everything in his or her power to disprove that eyewitness. The eyewitness is the number one witness that you can have in a trial. Number one. John here says, and think about the times that they lived. They didn't like Christians. Well, that's putting it mildly. They wanted them exterminated. They wanted to get rid of them. And they did a lot of terrible things. But John says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Eyes, ears, touch. He had been with Jesus. Okay. Now, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And he's writing in verse 4, it says, that your joy may be full because of this. All right, verse 5, hurrying right along. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Remember back in Genesis, I didn't read it, but God said, let there be light, and there was light. From the very beginning of the Scripture, here we are again. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's really plain, isn't it? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That doesn't say some sin, doesn't say the little sins, or the big sins, it says all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I've got the same problem that you've got, brother. And everyone else here, I'm a sinner. I've been forgiven. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been forgiven. But I'm still a sinner. You know, I listened to the 3 P's sermon. I don't know if any of you guys have ever preached the 3-letter P sermons, but one is the penalty of sin. If you're saved, you're free from the penalty of sin. But God is saving you After you're saved, he's saving you from the power of sin. Because we're all subject to the power of sin. As long as we're in the flesh, as long as we're in this body, we're subject to the power of sin. But the last P is the present, the very presence of sin. One day God is going to take us out of this world and we're going to be free from the very presence of sin. We'll be with Him. Verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, God, a liar, and His word is not in us. You know, we could turn back to Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all have sinned. We're all sinners before a holy God. Notice here in verse 9 again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a process outlined here. Sins confessed, sins forgiven, and then a cleansing. Sins confessed, sins forgiven, and then a cleansing. We got 2 minutes. Any questions? Good. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for your beautiful creation, for the heaven and the earth. Thank You for Your word that tells us all of these wonderful things. And thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins and for not only mine but for the sins of the whole world, for whosoever believeth. For it's in His name I pray. Amen.